Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Thank you.
Praise God. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. God is so good today. I'm so excited that next week we are going to be resuming the service. We're going to go forward and resume the services here at Sarita House of Worship. And I'm so excited. Can't wait. Hallelujah. Can't wait to have the house filled with music, song, worship, house filled with dancing and joyfulness. Hallelujah. I cannot wait. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for what he's doing. May 31st. Hallelujah. I hope you're excited as I am to regain the things that God has given us, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray this morning. Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for all that you're doing, Lord, in the earth today. Thank you, Lord, that your name is great and greatly to be praised. Father, there's none like you who in wisdom and understanding deal with men on the earth. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you love your people and you love the earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, the word is still the same. You are still reaching out to men and women. Father, you are still desiring to touch those that will just believe you. So, Father, this morning, as we go and as we read your word, Father, as we look at the scriptures, Father, I'm asking you, Father God, that you would pour upon us, Father God, a spirit of anointing, Lord. Anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our eyes and our minds to picture and to see the things that you would be saying this morning, Father God. Thank you for it, Lord. Continue, Father, to build and strengthen the body of Christ that's on this earth today, Lord. And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, God, because only you, Father, deserve the praise and the glory and the honor, God. We thank you this morning in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I heard that amen all the way across those airwaves. I heard it going, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 1 this morning. I'm going to read this whole chapter, and I love the Word of God. I will read and read the Word of God. I use the Word of God. God has placed in my heart just the desire to place His Word out, and so I read. I will read a lot. I'll read a lot in the Scriptures because perhaps, maybe, could it be that somebody might hear something that's in these, and God will touch their hearts. Who knows what God will do? I believe he is doing a great work. So I will read these scriptures. And just when you hear, just listen to what's being said, because I believe God is speaking to the church and to the world. He desires nothing but good for people, for mankind. Nothing but good. That's what he desires. And if there's anything I've learned in this time and season that we've been in, is that God cares about men. He cares about mankind. And so the things that he allows on the earth is to draw man closer and closer to him. And I believe that with all my heart. So starting at Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, the Word of God says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Not only did he eat weird stuff, but he was dressed weird. I love this guy. He didn't fit in probably anywhere he went because of the way he was dressed. And what he ate. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyway, so when they went out to Jerusalem, they went out to him to Jerusalem from Jerusalem. I'm going to start again. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's not a very friendly guy to some of these folks. And I like that about him because, you know, there is something about men that are confident in the things of God, men that are walking with God, like John the Baptist. They will say certain things and do certain things a lot of folks might not get a hold of. They might take it as an offense. And you know what? It seems to me that in the times we live, everything's an offense to anybody. I mean, you cannot please anybody. Everybody gets offended one way or another, but that's okay. If your heart is before the Lord and you're seeking God and you're going after God and somebody gets offended at you, is that okay? I believe it is. I believe it's okay. I believe that God knows and understands. And I will tell you, John the Baptist, to some folks, he was an offense. I'll tell you this also, that Jesus also to a lot of folks was an offense. Because people that have their hearts set after God sometimes will appear and look like an offense because their heart is after God. Praise God. So he says, but when he saw many, verse 8 says, he tells those Pharisees, he says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings not good forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I love that. I'm going to read that part again. John the Baptist is talking about the one that's to come after him. And he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I like what John the Baptist is telling the folks. He's telling that he likens John the Baptist likens the Holy Spirit to the process of what they would do when they were threshing wheat. He says they would in the process of threshing wheat, they would take the wheat, the grain or the wheat that was still on the stems, and they would toss it up in the air, and it would fall on the threshing floor, and it would break off the husks and the wheat from the stems, and they would take a fan and they would blow off all the excess the husks and everything that were around on the wheat, and then they'd pick it up and they'd do it till they got it clean. And then they would put the wheat into a basket for storage, and then what was left, they would toss it out. They would cast it out. And John the Baptist is talking about people. He is talking about those that will be raised by the Lord, that would give their hearts to the Lord, how they will undergo a certain, if you will, I don't want to say, I'm not a process type of guy, but they will undergo a certain process of being prepared to go into storage. Isn't that cool? And they would toss this up, bam, toss this up, bam. How many of you ever felt like you were tossed up and bam? I mean, I'll tell you what, sometimes I feel like I'm getting tossed up and bam. But I was, you know what's kind of strange to me? I'm getting more comfortable with getting tossed up and bammed. I really am. I'm getting tired. The title of my message today is called Smeared. Anybody ever been smeared? I was on a playground one year. I was probably in fifth grade maybe, and I was on a playground, and a volleyball, I think it was, came rolling up to me. And I'm looking at the ball, and there's a guy coming. He's in my class. His name is Andy Mason. And he's walking, and he's running. He's, Henry, give me the ball. He wanted the ball. I looked down that ball, and I kicked it as hard as I could in the other direction. And while I'm watching that ball, Andy jumped me, and he beat the snot out of me. I mean, he smeared me. Man, so I've been smeared. But you know what? Have you ever been smeared by God? I have. There's been times in my life where God has smeared me, where I have been at the bottom of the threshing floor. Yet I could still feel that wind of his fan blowing what it is he's out. He's trying to get off of me. I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a wonderful place to be, allowing the Lord to toss you up and let you hit, and then brushing off and blowing off those things that are contrary to him. And that's what John the Baptist is describing here. He's describing a process, if you will, of removing that which is not wanted from that which is wanted. Praise God. Verse 13 says, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, allow it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. John the Baptist recognized Jesus when he first saw him. He goes, man, I need to be baptized by you and not by me. But see, Jesus came to be an example to mankind. So Jesus told him, hey, let it be the way it is, because this is the way it's going to be for those that follow me. They will do this. This is what they'll do. They will be baptized. Hallelujah. It's important that I set an example to those that will follow me, if you will. So John the Baptist, okay. So John the Baptist baptizes him. And verse 16 says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I love that statement. I know there's a lot of folks that say, the words they want to hear when they get into heaven is well done, my good and faithful servant. And I said, I do want to hear that when I hear that, when I step through those pearly gates, I do want to hear that. But what I want to hear now is that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I love that statement. Can you imagine God speaking that over you? I will say that he is saying that to you that love God, that you are his beloved Son in whom he's well pleased, because he knows you. He knows your heart. He knows how much you care about him. He knows how much you love him. He knows how much you do when nobody's around. He knows you. And yeah, I would say that he says, you're my beloved Son. Whew, hallelujah. And chapter 4, verse 1 says this, then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Right after this event, after he was baptized, the Word of God says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And I want to talk to you this morning about being led by the Spirit. I believe it's so important in the world today that the church hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to them very much personally about who they are and what their function is in the body of Christ. We have a teacher. We have a one that will come alongside of us and instruct us and show us what God's purpose and will is for our lives, and also show us what he is saying in this world today. And you know what? For the most part, I'm not sure if the church is even listening for it. I'm not sure, because I believe I kind of see that the church is in a place where they're comfortable with what they're seeing and hearing and what they've seen and heard, and they are not seeking after that, what God has for them personally. And I believe that God is so excited about opening the treasures that he's placed within every person in the body of Christ. He's so excited, but yet he is saying, my people won't come to me. What God is saying to me is that people are placing, people in the church are placing others around them before him. And I will tell you that God said to me, I will not be mocked. I will not be mocked, he says. I am, Henry, a jealous God. You will have no other gods but me. So I believe, I've sent this message to a friend of mine, and I believe this with all my heart, because not only has God said these things to me, but he also said this to me. He says, my kingdom is being hindered by my people from being manifest on the earth because they will not seek what I have for them. They are comfortable with what they've been given, and they're not coming after me. But I will tell you, I believe God is changing that. I believe God is, he has called us into his presence, each and every one of us. He's called us personally, and I believe that God will do what he's going to do. It's going to happen. And it doesn't, and if you don't want to step into it, it's okay. You're still saved. You're still going to go, but you will miss those things that God has prepared for you. Not only is he preparing a mansion for you, but he's got your walk prepared for you here on the earth, but you got to go after him for it. You cannot ignore him in these things. Hallelujah. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit. What actually is his work? Turn to John chapter 14, verses 15, 16, and 17. This is what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Here's part of his work. Jesus is describing his work, and he's saying, he is a comforter. I will tell you, I can tell you time after time after time how the Holy Spirit has come. And just by a couple of words or just a scripture that I find in the Word of God will flood my spirit. And then I'm comforted in what's going on. Hallelujah. He is a comforter. He is a paraclete, one called alongside to help. He is someone that comes alongside of you. But then Jesus says something a little bit different here. And John 14, 26 says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said to you. Here's what the Word of God is saying. The Comforter will teach you all things. Hallelujah. I would tell you, if there's anything that we need to understand, is that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Let me just make myself clear, that it's in the realm of your walk with God. It is in, what he's talking about here is in the realm of the walk that you have with the Lord. He will teach you. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will show you things that you've never heard or never seen, because that's what he's here to do. That's his job. Hallelujah. His work is to teach you. His work is to, that's his job. Now, if you got it and you got it in your heart, hey, well, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a dentist. I mean, hey, you probably need to go to school for that. Folks have misquoted some of the things that I have said, because they think that I'm looking, but let me just say, you know, the Word of God says this, I think it's in Timothy. It says that bodily exercise profits little. But righteousness is profitable in everything. So if you want to work out, be a man of God or a woman of God and watch how it profits you. If you want to be a doctor, be a man or a woman of God. Go to school and watch how it profits you. Because you're not probably going to learn any brain surgery out of the scriptures. You're going to need some schooling. Like I need schooling in the... See, I am a preacher of the gospel. I need to learn the things of the gospel. And when it comes to your walk with the Lord, you need to understand that man cannot be, never was intended to be, your teacher. It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches you because it is the Holy Spirit that reveals His word that He's given to mankind on the earth. All scripture is breathed by the Holy Ghost and given to us. Huh? Hallelujah. Can I get you to look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 20? I want you to look at this. Well, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Can you put up verse 28 also? You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, notice the word says all things, and that anointing says it is truth and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in Him. You can go back to that other, to the first one. I love this scripture. I love this. I had gotten saved and wasn't sure about a lot of things. I was brand new in the Lord. And I had a friend at work that was telling me, he says, Henry, you don't have to believe me. You go to the Bible, find it for yourself. I'm not going to babysit you, bro. I said, okay, whatever. And then I had a friend that was coming over. He was a Jehovah's Witness. He was a good old JWS. I mean, he goes, and he come over and he would tell me, he says, bro, you can't read this by yourself. The Bible, you can't read it by yourself. You need somebody to instruct you. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, if you do it on your own, you're going to end up like Jim Jones or one of those guys. And I knew who Jim Jones was. I had heard about him. And I go, man, I don't want to do that. So I need somebody to talk to. And I'd go to work, and my brother said, bro, what did I tell you the last time? What did I tell you? You see, let me just say something. See, I was brand new in the Lord, but he didn't seem to care about that. What he told me was this: God has saved you, and He will build you. Let Him build you. You don't need me. You don't need me. And you know, and it's funny because later on I was taught in the Word of God that it's up to us to make sure that all are, it's not up to us. This is the Lord's work. He knows who's getting saved and who's not getting saved. And He knows who He's going to build and who's not going to build. And see, it's important that you have somebody that talks to you in your ear and says, look, man, I'm not babysitting you. You go to the Word of God. You find out what God has had for you. And here, and you know what I did? I went to the Word of God. I began to find out what God has for me. And I'm glad. I am glad I didn't use a brother or sister to be my babysitter in the things of God. Because God doesn't look at you so much as a baby. He looks at you as His son or His daughter. And He will build you and He will strengthen you. I was home one day and I was going through this fight. Well, Brother Manny says, I've got to have somebody show it to me. But Lee, he's kind of mean to me. And he says, no, man, go home, get it on your own. And I'm in this place and I was working swing shift at the time. And I was reading the Bible, trying to read the Bible. And I could not get this word that was placed in my mind that I have to have somebody teach you. So I grabbed my Bible and I threw it against the wall. And I told God, I said, this is too hard. It's just too hard. I don't know what to do. And I went outside and I worked in the garden a little bit, and it got time for me to go to work. And I come back in the house and I looked over in the corner. My Bible's laying up against the wall, and it's all kind of spread out. And I'm looking at it, I go, oh man. And you know, I was always taught as a Catholic, you respect those things of God, man. We pulled the Bible out. We had a great big Bible, and it was a big old thing to set on the table, and we would open it real slow and we would look at the Word of God. And, man, there's my Bible. So I go over and I pick it up. I go, oh man, God, I'm sorry. And I get over to the table, and I don't have a lot of time because I'm having to go to work. And I set it on the table, and it fell open right to this scripture. And it says, you need not any man teach you, but the anointing which you have received, that which you, when you gave your heart to Jesus, can I tell you, he came into your life, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. All you got to do is go to him for it. And that's what the Word of God said. You don't need anybody to teach you. So I've gone on that. That has been a foundational scripture in my life. So a lot of times when I speak, I know people don't get understand where I'm coming from when I say, hey, man, you know what? We are not teachers. We are children of God. We are men and women that are inspired by the Word of God. And we allow our inspiration when what God has given us, we just give that out, and it'll fall on whosoever's ears. God will take that and he'll use that in their lives and will help them to find what God has, what he has for them. So God is not the teacher, but I want to talk to you about that word, the word unction. The word unction in the Greek is the word chrisma. C-H-R-I-S-M-A. It's an unguent or smearing. this is where I got the title of my sermon today. It is a smearing. A smearing of what? A smearing. What it is again. It's an unguent or a smearing. Endowment of the Holy Spirit. Anointing. Unction. It's from the word trio, C-H-R-I-O, which means through the idea of contact, to rub or smear with oil. And if I remember right, the oil that was so carefully concocted for the tabernacle, so carefully put together, that was poured in the vial that would allow the oil to flow to the lamps in the lampstand, to the lights in the candlestick in the tabernacle. That oil that was so carefully handled and placed is a type of the Holy Spirit. It is a type. It is who the Holy Spirit is. He's a unguent or a something that's spread upon a wound. How many have had a wound before? Can I tell you, people in the house of God wound each other. And the only one that's going to help you is the Holy Spirit, as he comes and he brings an unguent or an anointment to place upon you and help you. But in that wounding, ooh, God uses those woundings to strengthen you and to build you. Ooh, he smears the oil on you, and it's the Holy Ghost. The unction that you have received is the Holy Spirit. That's who he is. Could it be any other way? Could it be any other way for mankind? For if man teaches man, who gets the glory? Man. But if the Holy Spirit teaches man, who gets the glorious God? Cannot be any other way. God says, I am a jealous God. There will be no other gods before me. Oh, people, we got to understand. We got to be careful that even with our own minds, we will step away from God and use this world and what it teaches. It will become a block or a wall, if you will. So know that God is tearing down these walls, and he's going to use his Holy Spirit to do that, because that's the beating of the chaff. That's what the impact on the ground, that's what it does. That impact causes, that's what's not wanted be broken off from what that is what from what is wanted. Hallelujah. So I just want to say this to some. There are some folks out there that do not believe that the Holy Spirit is of any consequence today for the church. He is everything to the church. He is everything. He is the only thing that a church should be based upon, built upon, because he is God himself, the Holy Spirit. And his work is to teach. His work is to bring us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So what is the Holy Spirit's syllabus? What's his program of study? What is it? How does he operate? We need to know what kind of a program he has for us to look at. And you know what he gives? Jesus tells us what the Holy Spirit, if you will, his syllabus. That's a big word. He will show us what he wants. John chapter 16, we're going to start at verse 7. This is what Jesus talking about the Comforter who was coming, or the Holy Spirit. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will, number one, reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you." I love that. He will receive of mine and show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Oh man, I'm getting excited about this. But he says, "Therefore I said that he will take of mine and will show it to you." I want to tell you, here's the Holy Spirit's syllabus. This is his program of studies, if you will. Number one, he's going to reprove the world of sin. Remember in John chapter 14 that the word says that the world cannot receive him. Well, how is he going to reprove him? Verse 17 says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." But look at the first part. It says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." How does that work? Well, if the world can't receive him, how will they know him? This is the first part of what Jesus is talking about the teachings of the Holy Spirit, that he will come to those people that God has chosen. He will come to them and he will begin a work. And watch this. Check out this. It says, John chapter 6, verse 44. This is what Jesus says. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up at the last day." Here we see that Jesus is making a statement of truth, that there is a way that people come to him. They are being drawn by the Father. The Father is using his Holy Spirit to draw them. We might know that as we might call it grace, but I want you to look at this, because I will tell you this morning that Jesus is grace. The Holy Spirit is grace. That's who he is. When you're talking about by the grace of God, we're talking about by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what grace is. Some folks will tell me, "Well, grace is unmerited favor." I say, "Yeah, but now you're talking more about mercy. Isn't mercy unmerited favor? When you've done so much wrong, that yet God still loves you and he gives you mercy. But in that mercy, he puts something on top of it. It's called grace. It's the Holy Spirit that brings words to draw you to him." Praise God. Hallelujah. God, John 6, he says, "The Father draws." Ephesians chapter 2:5 says this, while you were dead, even when you were dead in sins, has he quickened us together with Christ. And then it's got in parentheses, by grace you are saved. Look at that in your word. Look at that in the Bible. It says that by grace you are saved. This is what God does with a sinner. He draws them in. He pulls them in. The Holy Spirit has come to pull them in. He, you know, we might think, oh, I'm a great fisher of men. Let me tell you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in your life, oh, there ain't nothing else you can do but be a great fisher of men, because it's the Holy Spirit. He draws them in. It's always been that way, and it will never change. He is the one. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, the grace. He's telling, I will tell you, Jesus told his apostles, go into Jerusalem and wait for the gift, wait for the promise. Peter, when he stands up after they got baptized in the Holy Ghost on that day, and he says, men and brethren, this is the gift that was promised. See, Jesus told us to wait for it. It is the gift. The Holy Spirit is the gift, and he is grace. That's who he is. In Peter calls him the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. He is the one that brings heaven into the heart of man, and he will open up the things. I love what Jesus says. He will open up the things the Father have given me, he says, and what he's given me, I will give you. See, God, Jesus talked about mysteries, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of salvation, the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. These mysteries, the keys of the kingdom is what he told Peter. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And these keys only come through the Holy Ghost. Only. Man cannot possess those things unless the Holy Spirit gives them. And once he gives it to you, don't let go of it. Woo, hallelujah. That's the first part. Reprove you of sin. Now, how many of you were reproved? I remember being in front of my television night after night watching, well, Friday nights, after a week of work, watching Jimmy Swaggart. And falling before my TV and crying and crying and said, God, I'm a sinner. Finally, one night, the Holy Spirit, that's enough. You're good. You're saved. I've got you. I said, oh, praise God. Talk about a joyful time. I was reproved of sin. And he began to show that he had taken my sins away. That brings us to his work of righteousness in the man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, God is taking you along in bringing truth to you and showing you and being very, very loving towards you, because he will tell you, he says, look, I want you to know something really very valuable to you, that my son was made sin for you, for all the things that you do that are contrary to God. My son, Jesus was made sin for you so that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. And now the Holy Spirit begins to bring scriptures of righteousness to you, to teach you and to build you in understanding that it's not you, it's him. It's him in you. Hallelujah. You died at the cross, and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus has come upon you. And that righteousness is active in your life. Hallelujah. To pick you up every time you're slammed. To pick you up every time a word is spoken against you. He is the one that will watch over you and take care of you. You don't have to do anything. You just trust him. And you watch what he does. You don't have to justify yourself, because God has already justified you in Christ Jesus. You don't have to give an account. Hallelujah. Because he justifies you. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit begins to teach you that. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and 22 says this. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It sounds funny. It sounds like the righteousness which has been witnessed by the law, is now here. It's manifested, but it's not of the law. It's not of the law. The righteousness is by grace, is by the Holy Spirit coming to live on your life, live in your life. The law has been put away in Christ Jesus on the cross. And now you're in the righteousness of Jesus in grace. It's a beautiful thing. It's manifested now, witnessed by the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference whether you're a Jew, a Greek, a Mexican, a Latino, hallelujah, a Nord, is that what it is? People from Sweden, yeah. It makes no difference. For the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all. Anyone that would believe in him, Jesus, hallelujah, has justified you. And now, according to the word of God, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's important that you learn on these things. Look up righteousness, go after righteousness. Find out what God is saying about the righteousness he's placed upon you. The word of God, you're going to find that even, I'm going to throw this one out there, even in the Old Testament, the Bible says that righteousness delivers from death. Isn't that crazy? Cool, man. Anyway, the last thing he talks about, end of judgment. And I want to tell you one of the things, judgment is not wrath. It can be. It's God's judgment upon, you know, the sons of Korah. Steve and I were talking about this morning about the sons of Korah. There was a judgment, but wrath was poured upon the sons of Korah and his families. But what the Holy Spirit brings into the vessel of the man or woman of God is the spirit of judgment, knowing what God is looking at, what God is saying in the midst of a place where nobody else is saying it. Hallelujah. In a time when everything is one way and God is doing it a different way. It's totally going the other way. It's called judgment. It's what he thinks concerning things. It's what he says. And judgment and righteousness almost all the time, I have found that they almost like walk hand in hand. They are like a brother and a sister. They walk together. Righteousness walks with judgment. I love that, because when you begin to look at it, you're going to see some of these things. I want you to see Isaiah chapter 54, 17. Check out this scripture. This is the judgment that God's talking about. He's bringing into the earth. It says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. No, I want you to hear that. No weapon formed against you will prosper. That's God's word. That's the truth. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Word of God says, every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. And I really do believe that the comma needs to be right after the thee or the you. Every tongue that shall rise against you, comma, in judgment, you're going to condemn. Why? Because God has given you judgment. He's going to give you to see that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what the scripture is saying? He says that shall every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I want you to see how righteousness and judgment are working together in the person that he's talking about here. Any one of us that will believe that no weapon formed against you will prosper, you're going to find that every tongue that rises against you in judgment because you've been trusting God, that judgment you will condemn. And I love it. And sometimes we think, oh, well, see, I'm gonna get back. I'm going to be able to retaliate because I know. No, that's not the kind of judgment. He says, in judgment, you'll know. When somebody speaks something evil against you, the word, his word's going to come to you. It should. It should say something that, hey, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you and mishandle you. Do good. See, now you're receiving judgment on how to handle that person that just chewed you out, whatever. Called you something you're really not. Look at Isaiah 32, verses 15, 16, and 17 says this. Until the Spirit be poured upon us. I know it's in the middle of a thought, but read this because it says, look at it and read it. It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted as a forest. Check this out. Then judgment, what? Judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. You see, judgment and righteousness walk together. You got to walk in righteousness, and then walk in righteousness step by step, walking in righteousness, stepping in the things that you know God has said to you. And you have to hold to those things no matter what people tell you, no matter what they say to you. You just keep walking in the things that God has said to you. You keep it. And then before you know it, judgment will begin to come upon you because you have consistently walked in the righteousness that God has prepared for you. You're walking in it, and now judgment is coming up alongside you. So it will undergird you and build you and strengthen you. That's what judgment's going to do for you, because it is the thoughts and the attitude of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. How does that come? Because you know the righteousness brings God's word into your vessel, and it holds you and keeps you, and you can live in peace. You can live when everybody's doing something different, you can be in peace because you know that God has called you to this. Folks, we have to be a people that will go after what God has for. One more scripture in this, in righteousness and judgment. There's so many, and I had a lot. Amos chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. He actually says in here, you know what? I'm tired of your music. I'm tired of your assembly. I'm tired of it, is what God is saying. I'm tired of it. Why would he be tired of your time? Because God wants, I am looking for them that will worship me in the spirit and in truth. That's what God wants. And there's something about attitude, that when you worship God and your attitude is contrary to a brother or a sister, I'm going to tell you something. God might be saying, hey, I don't want that. I want you cleared, where peace, where assurance is, and calmness and love is operating in your life. Amos, verse 24, right after he says, I'm tired of the vials, I'm tired of all that stuff. He says, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years, and yet God could not get what he was looking for. Let judgment run down like waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. You see, God is desiring his people to walk in righteousness and in judgment. He cannot. I will tell you, as much as you want him to, he cannot bless your attitude of unforgiveness. He cannot bless your attitude of lust for other things. He cannot. You might think he's doing it, but you know, you are incorrect. God cannot, because his people, he says, I am a jealous God for my people. I am. I will not be mocked. The last scripture I've got for you is John chapter 1, verse 12 says this. We'll start at verse 10. He was in the world. No, go ahead. Leave it there. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And then verse 11 says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Now, I want you to stop right there. Just look at that. Can I tell you that could this be happening in the church today? I believe it can. that he's coming to his own, but his own won't even receive him. Why? Because some say, I don't need the Holy Ghost. I got the Word of God. Well, come on, man, let me hit you in the head with your Bible one time, because the Holy Spirit brings the Word. He wrote that book you've got right there. Hallelujah. He says he came into his own received him not. And then he says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. How many believe that? As many as would receive him, who? Jesus. To them gave he power. Who's that? That's the Holy Ghost. For a reason. So that you might become the sons of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit's got a plan of teaching. He does. Sin, righteousness, and then judgment. Walk in righteousness and watch how judgment comes alongside and begins to speak to you and talk to you. When everyone else is going one way, judgment will come along and produce something within you that says, no, 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 no. That's not what I've got for you. This is what I've got for you. And he will show you, because you have consistently walked in the things of God. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning, God. God, I ask you, Father God, that you would touch people, Father God. That the words of this message this morning, Father God, that they might understand and they might know that your Holy Spirit is here to help them, to comfort them, to lead them, to guide them, to teach them. Father, in a time that we've never seen a time like today, like what we've gone through, Father God, but Lord, I know, Father God, that you have desired that your people would know you, that you would cause them to walk in a way, Father, that they know it's you, and they would find their function in the body of Christ today. They would find their purpose in the body because you're speaking to them. So I thank you for that, Father. I praise you for it, Lord. Thank you for what you have done. In Jesus' name I pray, and I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Look for our new podcast, Showtime, this coming Wednesday. In the meantime, you can get updates and further information about our church at welcometotheshow.org. Until next time, God bless.